Number 714 has been announced as our song of invitation and encouragement. We're trusting that when we stand to sing that song, if we have any in our midst who need to respond to the Lord in any way, that you will do so before it's everlasting and eternally too late. You know, one day it's going to be too late to respond to the Lord. And so we need to take advantage of the time that God gives us. I believe Paul said something like this to the Ephesian Christian, that they needed to redeem the time. Certainly, we don't know when our time will come. We don't know when Jesus will come. But we know that he has given us this time, so we need to redeem it and make sure that we are ready when he comes. This morning, I want to share with us a lesson entitled, A Question Answered by the Word. A question answered by the Word. Brother Frank Smith read into our hearing passages of Scripture in Acts chapter 16, verses 25 through 33. These passages deal with an incident in the Apostle Paul's life and his co-worker Silas's life, who had been thrown in prison after being beaten because some folks disagreed with what they were doing. They had come into town, and of course, Lydia had been baptized, she and her household. And after that, they observed, this is in the city of Philippi, they observed a damsel who had, the Bible says, a spirit of divination. In other words, she was somewhat of a fortune teller. And she brought her masters much gain. They made money off of her. And she followed after Paul and Silas, and she was crying after them and said, "These men show you the way of salvation." And she kept doing this for several days, the Bible says. And finally, Paul commanded the spirit to come out of her. And once the spirit came out of her, then, of course, she no longer was able to bring her masters much gain. And folks get mad with you when you mess with their money, you know. And so they didn't like this. And so they took the Apostle Paul and Silas, and they beat them, the Bible says, and threw them in prison. And while in prison, they were singing it, and they were praying. The Bible says, and the prisoners heard them. And at midnight, the Bible says, there was a great earthquake, and all of the prisoners were freed. But they did not flee. The jailer thought that they had fled, and he was ready to take his life. And Paul says, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." The Bible says that when that happened, that he sprang for a light. He came and he said to Paul and Silas, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Paul and Silas answered this question by the word of the Lord. If you want to be saved today, you got to go to the word of the Lord. The answer as to how one is to be saved, how one is to be pleasing in the sight of God, is found in the word of the Lord. But I want to say this morning that man may have many unanswered questions about various things today. Somehow his intellect leads him to quest for the unknown. And if he can't find a reason for whatever it is that he is looking for, he will speculate or he'll theorize what the answer should be. You know, the Great Pyramid of Egypt in Giza still remains a mystery to many. They still can't understand how those ancient Egyptians built those pyramids. That great pyramid stands some 455 feet tall. And the interesting thing about it is that they have found, Brother Frank, that it is aligned toward true north. Amen. And it's only off 1/10 of a degree. And to this day, they still can't understand how they were able to build that pyramid with such precision. That question still is unanswered. But the question this morning that was asked by this Philippian jailer has an answer. Amen. And is found in the Word of God. Because God wants us to live eternally with Him. And knowing that we did not and could not know the answer to this all-important question, He made it abundantly clear in His written word. We have an answer to this Philippian jailer's question. The jailer's question again was, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" That indicates that this Philippian jailer realized that he needed to be saved. And all of us this morning, I hope we realize that we need to be saved. We need to be saved because we are all sinners. The Bible has declared in Romans chapter 3 and verse number 23 that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12 that wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You see, sin puts us in a lost condition. Sin puts us at odds with God. And sin is defined as the transgression of the law. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 4 points that out, that sin is the transgression of the law. The word transgress means to go beyond, to go farther than what God has said. In other words, to violate the commandment of God. Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 17, we find that God gave man a command. And he said that all the trees that are in the garden, you can eat off them. You can freely eat off them. Eat as much as you want to off of them. Go there as many times as you like and eat off of those trees except the one that sits in the midst. The day that you eat off of it, he says, thou shalt surely die. Well, in the process of time, the Bible says that Miss Eve saw that this tree was pleasant to the eye and it was one that was to be desired to make one wise. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6 said that she took off that tree and she ate. She gave it to her husband and he did eat. And from that point onward, sin has been in the world. Sin is a terrible thing. It puts us at odds with God. And therefore, we need to be saved. But you know, I'm so thankful this morning that God did not wait until Miss Eve and Mr. Adam ate that forbidden fruit. He had already, from eternity, the Bible says, devised a way that he was going to save mankind. Why? Because God is infinite in wisdom. And he knew already before he made man that man was going to need a savior. And so he had already devised a plan, devised a way in which man could be saved. It's no wonder that this Dansma was running behind the Apostle Paul and Silas, crying after them that these men show the way of salvation to you. I would that everybody today would look for that way and would get in that way of salvation. Because one day we're going to stand before God and we're going to have to give an account of everything that we've done in this body, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And I know you want to be saved and I want to be saved. No wonder, no wonder, no wonder Brother Darrell let that song this morning about a bright tomorrow. It's going to be a bright tomorrow when Jesus comes. But it's not going to be bright for everybody. It's only going to be bright for those who have been saved and who are living faithfully unto death. Because Paul was inspired to say in another passage in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning at verse number 7, to those of you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven in flame and fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of God and from the glory of his power. That's not going to be a bright tomorrow when that happens. It'll only be bright for those who are obeying his will and who will be admiring his coming, be glad to see his coming. Yes, indeed, I hope that you're looking forward to that day when Jesus returns. And so man needs a Savior. And so when Jesus, and even before Jesus was born, Joseph had a problem with his girlfriend. And he decided that he was going to put away privately because he knew they weren't married. And he knew that it would bring shame on him and on her. He wanted to put away her privately. But the angel of the Lord said to Joseph, don't worry about anything. I'm paraphrasing Matthew chapter 1. Don't worry about anything. This thing is of the Holy Ghost. And he says, and thou shalt call his, and she's going to bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sin. So Jesus then became our Savior. And when Jesus came into the world, and after he had gotten grown, and he was marching down the road, if you will, and a publican, a tax collector by the name of Zacchaeus, heard that he was coming this way. The Bible says he ran ahead of the crowd, and he climbed up in the sycamore tree because he wanted to see Jesus. And when Jesus came by, Jesus looked up and said, come down, because today salvation must abide at your house. So he went on to the house of Zacchaeus. And it says there in Luke chapter 19 and verse number 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Aren't you glad that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost? So mankind was lost. Mankind was separated from God. But Jesus came to be the Savior of mankind. So we all are in need of being saved. But in order to be saved, we must hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The jailer was told in Acts chapter 16 and verse number 13, after he had asked that question, what must I do to be saved? He was told, as the Bible says, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Well, I want to pause just for a moment here and say that scripture has been taken out of context by many of your people, because many of your people believe that that's all you have to do is just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, because they say, you see right here, that's what the Bible says, and that is what the Bible says right there. But that's not all the Bible says. The Bible says, of course, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But the Bible also says other things that one has to do in order to truly believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Bible says again, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Well, there's something necessary, something that's got to take place before one can truly believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what is it? Well, listen to what the Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 14. The Bible says, how then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? You remember what Paul and Silas said again in verse number 31? They said, the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But Paul clarifies this thing in Romans. He said, they can't even believe on him unless they hear about him. So you got to hear about what the Lord Jesus has to say. So he says, how can they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So they couldn't believe until they heard. That's why verse number 32, the Bible says in verse number 32 of Acts chapter 16, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. He had asked the question, right? Sirs, what must I do to be saved? That's the question that he needed an answer for. But you know what? The Bible says that Paul and Silas spoke unto him, what? The word of the Lord. They didn't talk about a feeling. They didn't talk about a custom, something that you had already done and something that your people had done. They talked about the word of God. The answer to what a man must do to be saved is found only in the word of God. And until we hear the word of God, then there's no way that we can believe on Jesus and be saved. Because salvation is in Jesus. So we got to hear what Jesus has to say so that we can believe what Jesus has to say. And if we believe what Jesus has to say and obey what Jesus says, then we'll be saved. So they spoke unto him the word of the Lord and all that were in his house. You see, hearing the word of the Lord was necessary again for them to believe. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 16, it says over there, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? And the Bible goes on and says, so then, faith come by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Paul and Silas said to the Philippian jailer again, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But he also says, how can they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Why did he say that? Because the Spirit inspired him, and the Spirit knew that they had to hear in order to gain faith so that they could believe. Because, again, faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And unless we believe and unless we have faith, then there's no way that we can please God. And if we can't please God, we certainly can't be saved. Amen. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that believeth in him must believe in that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we got to hear what God has to say in order to be able to develop faith. What must I do to be saved, the jailer says. Paul says, believe on the word. I believe on the Lord, and thou shalt be saved. But Paul also knew, I need to teach you so that you can believe. I need to teach you the word of the Lord. And so then, it was necessary for him to hear the word of the Lord so that he could believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, when he spake unto him, and all that was in his house, that is his family, the word of the Lord, the Bible says, they were baptized. And when they were baptized, then they were saved. They had heard the word of the Lord. They had heard the right thing, the right teaching. And let me say this, you got to hear the right teaching in order to be baptized right. You can't receive the wrong teaching and get a right baptism. It just will not work. You got to hear the right teaching of God in order to receive the right baptism. So they heard the right teaching and they were baptized. And when they were baptized, they were added to the Lord's church. Well, what then is the benefit of hearing and obeying the word? Well, in the first place, when one hears the word of God, he makes contact with the power that's in the word. Did you realize that the word has power? The word has power. The Hebrew writer said it like this in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12. It says, for the word of God is quick, that means it's alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word of God, then, has power. And we need that power in order to be saved. The word of God has power. I'm talking about what's the benefit of hearing and obeying the word of God. Not only does it have power, but the word of God makes one wise unto salvation. You remember what the damsel said again? This fortune teller, so to speak, said again? Said, these men show you the way of salvation. These are men of God, and they show you the way of salvation. What she was basically saying in so many words, you'd be wise if you listen to what they have to say. And we'll be wise this morning if we listen to what the word of God says. So many people say, I know the word of God says that, but I don't believe it, and I'm not going to accept it. That's a very unwise thing to do. It's wise to believe what the word of God says and obey what the word of God says. No wonder James says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. So we need to not only just hear, but we need to do the will of God. And so the word of God makes one wise unto salvation. That's what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15. Paul said over there, as he said to his son in the gospel, he says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able, the Bible says, to make thee wise unto what? Salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, if we want salvation, it's through faith, and it's in Christ Jesus. Now, so it'll be wise for us to listen to the word. I'm so thankful this morning that those people in the Philippian jailer's house, along with him, listened to the word of God, and they obeyed the word of God. Those who have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ today, it's a wonderful thing that we have listened to the word of God and have obeyed the word of God. So I would say to you then this morning that if you have not been baptized into water, and have your sins remitted or removed and been added to the Lord's church, it would be wise if you would do that today. The scriptures will make you wise unto salvation. But not only do you benefit that way, but I talked about we all are sinners and have sinned. You know what sin does for us? It separates us from God, yes, but it makes us dirty. It makes us dirty. And it's the word of God that will clean us up. Jesus said that to his apostles in John chapter 15 and verse number 3. Jesus says there that now you are clean. To say that they were clean meant at one time they must have been dirty. You know, to say I got some clean clothes indicate that at one time my clothes must have been dirty. I put them in the washer now. They come out. I got them clean. So Jesus said to his apostles in John 15 and verse number 3, he said, now are you clean? How are you clean? Through the word which I have spoken unto you. And the only way we can be cleaned up from all of the filthiness in our lives that's caused by sin is by the word of God. So when we obey the word of God, he will clean us up and make us fit subjects for his kingdom. So the word of God then will clean us up. But not only that, the word of God, and this is really what we really want, isn't it? The word of God will save our soul. Do you want your soul saved? In order to have your soul saved, you got to obey the word of God. The jailer says what? What must I do to be saved? The jailer wanted his soul to be saved. Well, James says it like this in James chapter 1 and verse number 21. He says, wherefore lay apart all superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Now, if the word of God is able to save my soul, then I want the word of God. You ought to want the same thing. If it's able to save your soul. So James says, again, that we need to receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. So the word of God then has the power to save our souls. And that gospel then is preached to us through and by the word of God. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 21, Peter says, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be where? In God. If our faith and hope is somewhere else other than God, that's the wrong faith and hope. Our faith and hope needs to be in God. He goes on and says, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh, he says, is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So it's the word through which the gospel is preached unto us. So we have to then put our faith and our confidence in Jesus and in Jesus' word, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ, in order for us to be saved. Not only that, but the word will make us complete for God's purpose. God has a purpose for you. He has a purpose for me. That purpose is the same thing, and that's to please him and be what he wants us to be. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse number 16, Paul says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And is suitable, he says, is suitable or profitable for what? Doctrine, that's for teaching. Not only is it suitable for teaching, but it's also suitable for reproof, for pointing out one's errors. Not only that, but for corrections. So you and I will know how to correct ourselves when we make the error. And it's for instruction in righteousness. How to be right with God is found only in the Word of God. So that's the purpose of the Scripture. And he says that when we get that into our minds and into our heads and do what the Scripture teaches us to do, he says that it'll make us complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God wants us to be engaged in good works of righteousness, doing his will, and the only way we can do that is by the word of God. The answer is found only in the word of God. So then, when the jailer then heard the word, his question was answered. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? I'm in a lost condition. I'm in a terrible state. What must I do to be saved? Paul told them what to do. And the Bible says they were baptized. And when they were baptized into Christ. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 27, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Isn't that what Paul and Silas told the man to do? Believe on the Lord Jesus. Another way to put your faith in the Lord Jesus. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. In order to put on Christ, you got to be baptized into him. And when you're baptized into him, you're baptized into his body. His body is the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, the Bible says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into what? One body. And the body is the church. Ephesians 1, verse 22 and 23. So when that jailer and his household were baptized, they were baptized into the church. And there is one body. Ephesians 4 and verse 4. And since the body is the church, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, there is just one church. God wants everybody to be members of the same body. Ephesians 3 and verse number 6. So then, when the jailer and his household were baptized, they were baptized into the church. They were saved, but that was just being saved initially. We got to keep on being saved. So, how can I keep on being saved? The answer is only in the scriptures. It's in the word. You can't keep on being saved by anything other than the same thing that you got saved by in the first place. So you got to keep on being faithful. Once one obeys, initially, the enduring answer to being faithful is to be faithful unto death. Revelation 2 and verse 10. John said to those Christians in Smyrna, he said, be faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. Isn't that what we want? We want a crown of life, don't we? So we got to be faithful unto death. So what must one do to be saved? First of all, he got to believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ and be baptized into the one body, which is the church, and then live a faithful life unto death. So when the jailer obeyed the word, this put him then in the right relationship with the Lord. And the word holds the answer to all of our relationships with the Lord. Everything that we do in this life, if we're going to please the Lord by doing it, the answer is in the word. Don't look anywhere else to find the answer. The answer is in the word. How you treat me? The answer is in the word. How I treat you? The answer is in the word. But you know what? We look to other folks as to how we need to treat one another. You think I ought to talk to her? You think I ought to talk to her? No, she don't talk to you, don't you? The answer is in the word. You see, we're not going to stand before one another in the judgment. We're going to stand before our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we had better been living our lives according to his will. I hear Jesus said in John chapter 12 and verse 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word has one that judges him, for the words that I have spoken unto you, the same will judge you in the last day. So we're going to have to answer before our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Jesus has taught us how to live, how to conduct ourselves in this life. How to love one another, how to forgive one another. Whatever God wants us to do to be complete, to be perfect in his will, the answer is in the word. So don't look anywhere else other than the word to find the answer how to please God. No wonder when Solomon had written his great book. Solomon had tried it all. He had done everywhere. Had been everywhere. Had everything. He concluded that it's all just vanity. Vanity of vanity. All is vanity. But then he says this in the last chapter of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, and verse number 13. He said, now let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. What's that conclusion, Solomon? He said, fear God and keep his commandments. Well, this is the whole duty of man. But he didn't just stop there. He went on and said, for God shall bring into the every work into the judgment along with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. God is going to bring everything into the judgment. So our duty and our challenge is, and the devil don't want us to accept that challenge, but our challenge is to fear God, respect God, and do what he tells us to do. Because one day, we're going to stand before him in the judgment. And all of us, the Bible says, we have to give an account of ourselves before God. I can't give an account for you. You can't give an account for me. We're all going to have to stand there for ourselves. My grandmother used to say it like this. Every tub will have to sit on his own bottom.
Yes, sir.
We're going to all have to stand there for ourselves. So it behooves all of us then to ask that question, as the jailer asked, what must I do to be saved? And then accept the answer that he was given. The answer that he was given was in the Word. All we have to do if we want to please God is to go to the Word. God wants to save every one of us. But he only will save those that do his will. Jesus said it like this in Matthew 7 and verse 21. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. The question that you and I need to ask ourselves, am I doing the will of God? And the will of God is found in his word. So don't go by your feeling. Don't go by your thoughts. Don't go by your ideas. Go by the word of God. Study the word of God so that you will know whether you are doing his will. What must I do to be saved, the jailer says. Paul and Silas said to him, believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved, thou and all thy house. That's what you and I need to do. Believe on Jesus and do what he tells us to do, and we'll be saved. You here then this morning, maybe you have not done that. We want to encourage you to do it. The Lord says that you need to hear and believe the gospel. Hear how God loved you and how he sent his son to die for you and how he did die and how he was buried in the grave and how he rose again the third day. All of that so you and I could be saved. That's the good news of the gospel. If it had not been for that, we'd have no hope. But because he did that, we have hope. So believe in that and then repent of your sins. I just talked about this morning, we all have sin, we all are sinners. When you realize you're doing wrong in God's sight, turn away from it and turn back to God. And then confess that you do believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then go down in that water of grave of baptism, just like the jailer in his house did. And be immersed, be covered up, not sprinkled, not poured, but be buried. The Bible described baptism as a burial, Romans 6 and verse 4. Be baptized in water for the remission of your sin. According to Acts chapter 2 and verse 48, when you do that, the Lord will add you to his church. And he has only one. So why not then obey the Lord today and become a member of that church you can read about in the New Testament? If you're already a member of the body of Christ, but somehow you find out that you're walking contrary to the will of God, I want to encourage you to turn away from it. Because again, Jesus said, if you die in your sins, where I am, you can't come. You need to turn away from it. Get back into the good graces or the good harmony with God. If you need prayer, whatever your need is this morning, baptism, or you need prayer because you've repented of a sin and you need the church to pray for you, or maybe you're struggling in life, whatever your need is this morning, we want to encourage you to come. We want you to do it right now.